We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
So apparently there can be clarity from a quarterback's camp. We'll get into that at 1:14. Russell Wilson doing something Deshaun Watson and his representation are not doing. I'm not saying either is right or wrong, but it's just interesting to see going around the NFL.
Unlimited.
Here on Sports Radio 610. Ravens head rusher Matt Judon is threatening to leak photos of ESPN reporter Jameson Hensley at a strip club if he doesn't retract a report. Hensley of ESPN apparently said the Ravens made a contract offer to Judon, $16.5 million per year. He says Judon rejected. Judon then went on Instagram and threatens to talk about Hensley cheating on his wife and taking pictures at a strip club. Your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, first of all, when you say, "Hey, man, if you don't stop that, I'm gonna show some pictures I have of you in a strip club." Well, okay. So you pretty much just told the world, "Yeah, pictures of me in a strip club," which could be a lie, but still, you can't make that threat.
You got to show the pics now.
I don't know.
The damage is done.
That's my point. The damage is done.
You got to prove it now.
And then, but see, what if they're real and the guy knows they're real?
Well, that's fine. You've already said that he's cheating on his wife at this point.
Well, he's not cheating. You don't cheat on your wife when you go to a strip club.
What he said on Insta.
Oh, that. Yeah. Well, I thought you were talking about the strip club pics. And then the second part is, okay, so he goes to strip club. A lot of adults do.
I wonder.
Bitches might look bad.
That's right.
Players get uneasy when they know that they're not going to get the deal that they want. I wonder if Matthew Judon can kind of sense, because I think this is kind of a chump move by Judon to talk about the dude's cheating on his wife and strip club and stuff. I think it's kind of a chump move. But maybe he just senses that Baltimore, who's been known to make tough decisions and let guys go, they're going to let one of their best edge guys go. And maybe it's just kind of driving him a little bit nuts and he's doing stuff that he normally wouldn't do. And I wonder if the Ravens, if they are willing to part ways with Judon, if maybe that would open the doors more for Baltimore being a potential landing spot for J.J. Watt.
I mean, I think it's a possibility. J.J. Watt apparently getting offers of $15 and $16 million. That in itself is an interesting story, but it doesn't necessarily eliminate a lot of teams. A lot of teams can find that money, and the Ravens are, obviously could do the same.
Baltimore,
especially with no Judon.
I think Baltimore's going to be a solid squad next year. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to have the fool's gold they had last year. Mm-hmm. Baltimore still made the playoffs this year. They were solid. I mean, they had a relatively good year given everything that happened to them. They had some injuries. They lost the left tackle. They lost Judon at one point. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens kind of figured out they had that long delay where they had to start Robert Griffin. They had a lot of stuff go on in Baltimore. I think if JJ's looking to take the next step, Baltimore makes a hell of a lot more sense than Pittsburgh, which John Clayton said you can chalk off the list. For J.J. Watt, he is not going to Pittsburgh, which just makes all the sense in the world. Been saying since the beginning, if J.J.'s goal is to win a Super Bowl, you have no chance to do that at Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger wasn't even one of the top 20 quarterbacks in the league last year. Mm-hmm. QBR, the eye test was bad. It was a fool's gold 11-0 start. We were saying that from the very beginning, or some people were. Got their ass kicked by Cleveland in the postseason. I don't see why going to Pittsburgh makes any sense for J.J. Watt. And I honestly don't think he wants to sit there and play with his brothers at this point all the time. Maybe he goes and gets that ring and then he decides he wants to go play with his brothers. And maybe that's like the final.
Find a 1 year, $15 million, and then see what you do.
Then win a Super Bowl and then go play with them. But playing with your brothers is not going to, for J.J. Watt, if he's cut from the cloth that we believe he's in, that's not going to override going and winning a Super Bowl. It makes no sense.
Well, I've told you already in the past, that's like a 2 week story. J.J. Watt isn't in it for 2 weeks. He's in it for February and winning a Super Bowl. Plus, if John Clayton says it, especially about Pittsburgh, because that's where he started out for about 10 or 12 years. He was the beat writer for the Steelers and knows everybody in the building. He's not going to Pittsburgh. So you can scratch Pittsburgh off the list.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Sports Radio 610. Where do you think J.J. ends up? If you had to call your shot right now, where's J.J. going?
Man, I've been saying it for a while. I'm going to stick to it because it's one of the teams that is being reported. I think he's going to be a Buffalo Bill. I think it just fits. I can see him in that uniform. I can see him with those great fans. He's got a quarterback that's kind of a Deshaun Light. He's got a defensive front that can give him a lot of help. Coaches he knows, and is it assistant general manager or director of player personnel, Brian Gain, that he knows. I could see him in Buffalo. How about you?
I could also see him liking that fan base.
That's what I'm saying. Fans that he can, you know, that he can definitely, you know, help out. His normal routine would be even enhanced.
I think Buffalo or Baltimore are the two teams
Tennessee,
that I
though.
Would think makes sense. I just don't see why.
Yikes.
That would
Vrabel.
Be weird. Yeah, he's got Vrabel.
Yeah.
And I know that Amy Adams has been pretty good to him. She donated the Harvey relief. But, man, I just don't know. I don't know. It would be weird. I mean, you want to talk about a tough pill to swallow. I think a lot of people were happy for J.J. to get out of this situation. But, man, you put on those old Oilers colors and you put him in Tennessee facing the Texans
twice. That would be a tough one.
That's a damn tough pill to swallow for a lot of people.
That would be tough. Berkman playing for the Cardinals was tough to see him in that uniform. Because that's back when the Cardinals still used to be the biggest rival.
Yeah, but this is even worse.
This is JJ.
Well, I mean, this is the old Oilers.
Yeah. Oh, Astros hated the Cardinals.
No, I know that. Yeah. But you sprinkle in that it's the old Oilers.
Yeah,
what about if they go throwback and he gets
to
wear an Oilers jersey?
Oh, they might. That might.
They need to do that against the Texans. They need to do that against the Texans. They need to go throwback Oiler jerseys if they get
no,
J.J.
No.
Watt.
No, here's the deal. You're J.J. Watt. I'm John Robinson. All right, JJ, forget every other team. We want you to be a Tennessee Titan. What are your thoughts?
Well, I just want to win. I just want to win a Super Bowl. That's really my goal. That's JJ, the ultimate goal. That's what you play football for.
JJ.
Yes.
If you sign with the Tennessee Titans,
okay,
we will play at least two games in the old Oilers uniform.
I mean, that'd be cool. That's always been something I want. But again, I just want to win. That's the main goal. That's what we all do.
He would say, okay, I'm in.
That's what we do for the fans.
Yeah. JJ, you're not on camera. It's just us in the room.
No, really. It's all about the fans. That's why they pay their hard-earned money to see us. And it sucks when we don't play good.
JJ, nobody's recording this.
Hey, I just want to play football. I just want to do my job. I just want everybody else to do their job. I just want everybody else to be ready to go.
And it sucks.
And it sucks when people don't do that. It sucks. Shout out to John McClain. JJ loves McClain, by the way.
Oh, absolutely he loves McClain. That's why he jacks with him so much.
I think we can cross Peter King off the list going around the NFL here on Sports Radio 610. That strange report that Nick Caserio wasn't even getting back to people with Deshaun Watson, I don't think that's true. And I think Peter King's kind of fallen out. I think it's very clear why he was so upset with the Amy Paulsik firing. Shout out to Amy. Congrats on getting that gig with Jacksonville. But, I mean, during the pandemic, Peter King was the only media type that got a full tour of the facility. And I think with the departure of Amy, I think his grasp of the Texans has gotten, it's slipped away more and more. And when he says that Nick Caserio is just not answering the phone, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I thought Ian Rappaport made a hell of a lot more sense when he said that Nick Caserio was basically just saying Deshaun Watson's not available, but they were discussing other players. That makes a lot more sense. And I think Peter King, when it comes to Circle of Trust, when it comes to the game, I like to play Follow the Source. If you want to know Jag stuff, I think Peter King's going to be able to give you the Jag stuff. I know he's one of the best NFL writers of all time, but I think his grasp of what goes on with the Texans has decreased. The notion that Nick Caserio is just not answering calls is silly. And I think there's the clarity that I needed for me and Rappaport.
Well, I mean, if they're not answering calls, and it could
make sense.
Again, it could be just, you know, figuratively speaking, they're not answering calls. How are they going to get any of these other deals done? Like Diana Russini was tweeting this morning, and she's really good. She's as you said earlier, she's kind of a up and comer in terms of respect for what she has to say. She said Houston continues to avoid conversations with regard to Deshaun Watson, but they're refusing to trade their franchise quarterback. So I think avoiding conversations and not answering calls, two entirely different things. So clearly people are trying. Clearly they're picking up the phone. Otherwise they wouldn't have all these other deals that they might be making, you know?
I mean, I just find it was a little bit weird to begin with. I don't mind laying low with the Deshaun thing and not, you know, showing your hand. But this notion that Nick Caserio is just not even getting back to teams is, to me, silly. Because there are a lot of other discussions to be had not involving Deshaun Watson. Pro days begin March 12th. That's when Trey Lance is going to have his at North Dakota State. You got to wonder what the attendance is going to be like in regards to the Texans. I think these are the days where we're going to see a little bit more of where the Texans stand on the possibility of Deshaun Watson moving on. I think every GM is going to go to Alabama's pro day. I think when you talk about some of the other pro days, Ohio State's pro day, Justin Fields is at the end of March. But when you start going to North Dakota State or BYU pro days,
you're going for one guy.
You're typically going for one guy, especially North Dakota State. I don't know how many prospects they have out of North Dakota State outside of Trey Lance. So I think the attendance at that one is what's
going
really to be
BYU
interesting.
And really BYU, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, most of their guys are like 46 anyways.
Yeah, I'm not saying they don't have other pro prospects, because they absolutely do. A lot of guys from BYU get there. What I am saying is, if the general managers show up, the Houston Texans general manager specifically, that's a sure telltale sign right there. And if Jack Easterby shows up at any of these, I mean,
it's Jack Easterby.
Why would he not?
What?
What if?
If Jack Easterby goes to a pro day, I'm going to be really pissed. He doesn't need to be at pro days.
No, I know. I agree with you.
I can promise you he won't be at pro days. Promise.
You promised me.
Promise. 100% promise.
Figgy?
You want to bet?
Yeah. He's not going to be at pro days. There's no way.
What has happened in the last few months?
Texas won't hire David Culley either.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to be at pro days.
I'm not saying he's going in place of Nick Caserio. But could you see Nick Caserio standing next to Jack Easterby, standing next to a few pro scouts at Zach Wilson's pro day? Could you see that?
No.
Here's how they're going to sell it. Jack Easterby is the guy that's going to be conducting the interview. I'm dead serious.
No, you're trying to be funny right now.
I am not trying to.
You're trying to draw
funny.
Me off sides, and I'm just not in the mood for it.
I'll tell you when I'm trying to be funny.
I'm really just not in the mood for it.
Because that's funny right there.
No, it's not.
Say, smart, dependable.
No.
I'll say something
he's
like
not
that.
He's not going to be at these pro days.
You'll laugh later. I'll seriously. Say something
that's
like
funny
that.
Right there.
Could you imagine, by the way, let's say that they do just get a full house and they decide they're all going to load up and, you know, take an old trip to North Dakota State.
That's what they do a lot of times.
Could you imagine being in a car with David Culley and Jack Easterby if you're Nick Caserio? How about just being in a room with those guys? Not saying that David Culley's not a nice guy, but man, if you're not in the mood and the coffee's not kicking the way it normally does, and let's say you're kind of rubbing the eyes and the crust is taking a little bit longer to eliminate, could you imagine being in a room with David Culley and Jack Easterby at the same time? Let's say that they are just wired up
coffee.
And the coffee's flowing and you're just kind of moving a little bit slow. Could you imagine being in a room with those two guys?
That's when you put, just put the headphones on, like you're on an airplane with a chatty person next to you. I'm sorry, I'm really tired. Just going to listen to some music and fall asleep.
That just seems like a miserable experience. That's Around the NFL here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up, Deshaun Watson's not doing it, but that doesn't mean that Russell Wilson is following suit. Something Russell Wilson is doing that Deshaun Watson and his camp have not. Next.
And loyalty is everything. I'll never forget it.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Russell Wilson had the internet going nuts a little bit. The report from The Athletic that Russell Wilson had a list of teams that he would like to be traded to it dropped short time ago when we got on the air. And now his agent has spoken directly with Adam Schefter, not anonymously, not sources. And he has said, courtesy of Adam Schefter, his agent Mark Rogers told ESPN, Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle. But if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are the Cowboys, Saints, Raiders, and Bears. Oh, my.
Yeah. So there's a franchise quarterback.
Yes.
Top five-ish quarterback.
Yes.
Talking about maybe trading him, leaving his established team, the team that brought him in. But the agent steps up and says, oh, no, let me clarify. He wants to be a Seahawk, but if things don't work out, these are the teams that he would consider.
Right.
So that's what happened.
Right.
And that's a lesson for anybody who doesn't think that Deshaun Watson doesn't want to be traded, because David Mulugeta is every bit the same agent, if not more so. How many millions of dollars does he have in NFL contracts?
Billion. 1.3 last year.
Yeah.
I think.
He's a smart dude that would, if Deshaun Watson still wanted to play for the Texans, would play. He would say something about he would play for the Texans. So it all, you know, you can add it all up and interpret it however you want, but that was clarity right there.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, some people are looking at it as, and I think there's different ways to look at it. There's not a right way to look at it. Some people are looking at it as, well, I wish Deshaun Watson would make it clear what he wants. But on the other hand,
but
he could be, I know, his silence is speaking volumes. but it also could be doing the Texans a favor where there's no tangible, like, public knowledge that he wants to be gone. So that's just, I think that's the difference. And I also think the camps are a little bit different. I think Russell Wilson's kind of more traditional. I think the Watson camp is a little bit more innovative. I think Mulugeta's kind of one of the new age agents who, if his client's unhappy, he's going to do whatever it takes to get him out of the situation. Sometimes successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully. But there can be a lot of drama that comes with that. I think it's very calculated. I think there are some times where Mulugeta's probably talking to people and he's saying, no, you can use me as source, but don't use my actual name. But if Deshaun wanted to stay, I'm sure Mulugeta would put his name behind it. It's just a different approach. But I think to me, it tells me that what we've already known is that Deshaun Watson does, in fact, want to get away from the Houston Texans.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, he hasn't directly said it, but he's kind of said it. Not kind of, but he's said it with things like this. And Mulugeta's agent has weighed in on some things. He hasn't weighed in on this. And he hasn't said, no, we're still not altogether out on the Texans. So they're out on the Texans. I mean, it's going to happen. And it ties in with what the Texans are saying about not picking up the calls and all this other stuff. Let me ask you this, though, because it seems as if, you know, the Raiders continue to be mentioned. They've been mentioned with Deshaun in a roundabout sense. Now they're mentioned from Russell Wilson's camp that if they do trade him, the Raiders would be one of four teams. By the way, Cowboys and Bears. You don't think those fan bases are happy? That would be a team. I think the Raiders are really, really kind of going to like they're going to be aggressive here.
Well, there's a lot of pressure on the Raiders. I mean, John Gruden, a couple years in, they haven't done anything. They haven't been in the playoffs. You're gonna have a new stadium. You didn't get to put fans in it in Las Vegas last year. You probably got to hope that there are going to be some fans in it. And you already knew that Patrick Mahomes was one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but now you have Justin Herbert coming off, you know, the season that he had, the pressure to get a quarterback and the pressure to improve a quarterback from a guy who used to freaking host Gruden QB camp and is known as a quarterback guy, it's got to be cranking up. So that's why you're hearing teams, the Raiders in the mix anytime a quarterback is on the market as like a dark horse, because the pressure's there.
How would you feel about the AFC West if the Broncos got Deshaun and the Raiders got Russell Wilson? And you'd have Herbert in L.A. with the L.A. Chargers and Mahomes with the Chiefs.
I mean, that would be ridiculous.
They should start their own league.
I mean, it'd be the golden age.
You'd have Mahomes, Herbert.
Just play each other four times.
Russell Wilson and Deshaun in the same division.
Just double the amount of division games.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't need to change the channel to anything else on Sundays. You can just sit there and watch the
get the AFC West channel.
The AFC West. Looking at Watson's camp as well, Deshaun tweeted out earlier today, it was a future lyric, "Loyalty is everything, don't you ever forget it." So you can do with that what you must. His quarterback coach, Quincy Avery, who's also the quarterback coach of Trey Lance, North Dakota State, having his pro day March 12th, put the fingers crossed three times. Not sure what that means. I think Quincy Avery's enjoying the tension probably more than Deshaun Watson or anybody else. He also tweeted a few hours ago, Quincy Avery, at @Quincy_Avery, quarterbacks are asked to be a coach in every other way. Then when they all for some input, everyone is up in arms. Make it make sense. Parentheses, I am talking about the Russell Wilson situation.
Yeah, that was a typo. He said then when they ask, I think is what he was trying to say, for input. I mean, he's not wrong.
Well, I think he is wrong, because I think it's I think anytime someone on the internet, especially someone who appears to like the attention and the smoke that Quincy Avery does, I think anytime you use the word everyone, you're having an extreme straw man argument. Because I haven't heard too much criticism at Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson for wanting input. In fact, we have different timelines. I'm sure you can find some people that question that, but I just based on from what I've seen, and I feel like we're looking at the same timelines, I think the support Watson's getting right now is high, and I think the support Wilson's getting is very high as well. So anytime you say everyone, it's an extreme straw man, and I don't really vibe. Everyone and we are two words on social media that I immediately dismiss.
No, look, I'm just sort of glossing over that just because I think he just means like people say. Some people say whatever
you can find people saying a lot of stuff. But when you say everyone, I think it's
insincere.
Everyone.
I think it's insincere to believe that there's no one out there, because we've all heard it. Again, we are on the same timelines here. People occasionally, if not more than occasionally, saying, you know, Deshaun Watson shouldn't be, you know, he should play the game and not worry about what the.
Yeah, there are people. Yeah. You can find any opinion.
I'm just saying,
any opinion on the internet, but when you start saying everyone.
No, I know.
And especially when it seems like there's more pro Deshaun Watson, pro Russell Wilson, you're looking like a guy who just wants to argue on the internet or is just so addicted to social media and social media attention that you're just throwing this out there. Everyone?
I think that's a bit extreme what you're saying, because I think that's more prevalent than just occasional trolls saying, play football, let the front office do their job. We see that more than occasionally. And so let's just set aside the semantics. I think he's right. You know, when people say something like, just play football, but on the field, you got to be the field general. You got to be the leader. You got to call. You got to make all the calls and all the reads. And you got to be like a coach on the field. Okay, I'll be that. And these two guys, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, have been that. So when it comes to asking for input, they deserve to have some input.
Well, I mean, they do. That Deshaun probably does with this organization just because of the way that they mishandle stuff. But, I mean, I think Tom Brady probably didn't like having much input in New England or as much as he would have liked, although it was his offense. But they had an organization that was functioning at a high level, so it didn't matter as much.
Right.
I think that's the problem. I don't think Deshaun Watson, in a perfect world, if they had hired the right Jack Easterby, the guy to oversee football operations and do what he was doing, if he were the right guy, I don't know that Deshaun Watson would really want to have much of a hand in. Hell, he would ride and die with B.O.B. So there is
I
that.
I think B.O.B. gave him a lot of respect, though. I think B.O.B. did give him a lot of, and he was the coach, you know, so I think he did give him a lot of leeway on that. All I'm saying is, you know, Deshaun Watson, if anyone who says Deshaun Watson should just play and let the front office do their job is wrong, because they're probably being hypocritical because they want Deshaun Watson to do everything else that a coach does on the field. That's what I'm saying, and I think that's what Quincy Avery
said. I just don't like these extreme straw man arguments on the internet. They really bother me. And the other one that really bothers me is the same people that say this say that. Give me a specific, okay? Because 90% of the time, it appears that you're taking one opinion and you're connecting it to another, and there's no like tangible example of it.
Yeah,
and it's just
I get your point.
Straw man arguments, generalizations. I think they are the root of a lot of problems when it comes to this type of stuff. I do not like them very much.
I understand. And I think you make a point. Again, just in this case.
But do you feel like more people have Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson's back than don't?
Absolutely.
Exactly. So you can find
but
any opinion on the net.
But it's not 2%. It's like 20% that say the opposite. That's why I'm saying I get his point.
Yeah, people are riding with Deshaun right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what I feel like. That's the sense that I get. I feel like the approval rating of Deshaun Watson, if you just send it around right now, is very, 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 very high.
Yeah, and we also need to talk about our friends at Lyondell Bassell and what they're doing, because if you're talking about the Kids Meals Houston program, Lyondell Bassell now has announced that they're matching up to $25,000 for every $25 donated. So you got to get in on that.
Coming up, there is a team that we considered a dark horse to land Deshaun Watson. You can cross them off the list. You can cross them off the list. The options to trade Deshaun Watson just got thinner. We'll give you the latest next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, you can chalk off a potential destination for Deshaun Watson. Quite honestly, I think the entire NFL should really be breathing a sigh of relief, because this would have been a nightmare if Deshaun Watson ended up there. Quite honestly, I think he could almost just cancel the season. So, it's not going
to
happen.
It's KD to the Warriors.
Yeah, this is cheating. Deshaun Watson and Kyle Shanahan, the pairing that many people had feared, made defensive coordinators around the NFL piss the bed just at the thought of it. There were yellow sheets all over as his speculation began. They saw these Photoshop Deshaun Watson red and gold picks, and then it just grown-ass men waking up with wet yellow sheets. Don't worry, because your fears are no longer a reality. Here's Ian Rappaport minutes ago of the NFL Network chalking a potential Deshaun Watson destination off the list.
Sounds like the 49ers, as of right now, are right. There is nothing going on. And, you know, we were talking about a lot of quarterback movement. There's been some big names we've discussed, from Russell Wilson, like we just discussed, or Deshaun Watson. I think it's safe to say those names, and Russell Wilson's not going to the 49ers, obviously. I'm just saying those names would maybe change the landscape for most teams in the NFL. If those guys were actually for real available, might change some plans. Absent that, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks that are probably staying a lot more than we anticipated, including Jimmy Garoppolo. Because if you're the 49ers, this is a quarterback who, when healthy, has been good, helped you get to the Super Bowl. And you look around at who's actually for real, legitimately available, and who makes the 49ers definitely better. I think that's the real question. As of right now, the belief is no one. So, yeah, I would agree with Lynch that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be their quarterback going forward, unless you see lightning crash and one of those other big-time guys becomes actually at the 49ers' doorstep.
Okay, well, maybe you can maybe just give the bladder a little bit of a rest. He's not completely...
It's not like, unless...
eliminating the possibility.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco would be at a disadvantage when it came to acquiring Deshaun Watson and or Russell Wilson. Let's just ignore the fact that Russell Wilson is in the same division as the 49ers. The other destinations would be able to give up more, because San Francisco with Jimmy Garoppolo, they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They were depleted by injuries last year. They're going to get a lot of those guys back, and they're going to be competitive. And with Deshaun Watson, I mean, good God.
Yeah, it's over.
It's
put a bow on it.
Borderline over. But now it looks like they're at least saying right now, which I think is smart, that Jimmy Garoppolo will be the guy.
I think it's smart. I mean, they have their consistency. They have the coordinator that can bring them get the most out of Garoppolo, and we've seen it. I think it was kind of a pipe dream for Deshaun. I don't necessarily think that pipe dream is 100% off the table, But they're realizing those dollars only go so far, you know, and with that defense getting better, healthier, it might have just been an aberration and they might be able to still go where they want to go.
Man, it seems like it's going to be tough with Kyle Shanahan and what he does, but who knows? I wouldn't be surprised to see San Francisco emerge as, you know, maybe a team that likes one of these quarterbacks, one of these rookies, and maybe go with Jimmy Garoppolo, but also, you know, take one of these quarterbacks and see what they can do with them, you know?
Yeah.
Trade up. Maybe just let Jimmy Garoppolo learn under Jimmy Garoppolo, but very tight leash, and you can get rid of him after this year. So keep an eye on that. San Francisco, though, right now does not look like it's going to be a destination for Deshaun Watson. Russell Wilson does not want a trade, but he is open to going to a few teams. His agent clarified that over the course of the show. So you got to think, if you're Seattle, you don't even want to entertain the possibility of trading Russell Wilson at this point.
No.
Not even entertain the possibility. That's not a rebuild.
No.
That's not the situation that you're dealing with the Texans, where it's a rebuild and you can maybe convince yourself that it might may or may not make sense.
When all this Russell Wilson stuff started coming out last week, over the weekend, one of the things I mentioned to you is I think what this comes down to is Russell Wilson wants a say in things. Deshaun Watson wants out. And the agent pretty much just confirmed that, the Russell Wilson's agent. You know, yes, he's unhappy. So is Deshaun Watson. Yes, he doesn't like some of the things that management has done and the things and the way that they have respected him or, in his view, disrespected him. Same with Deshaun Watson. The difference is, and Russell Wilson's agent just cleared that up, he just wants a say. He wants, you know, it's like, work with me here, you know? Help me help you, that kind of thing. Whereas Deshaun says he reached a breaking point.
The Seattle front office has earned,
yes,
at least some credibility.
Mm-hmm. I think he respects the front office. He just wants a little more respect back.
Russ can feel a certain way, but I mean they gave him a Super Bowl window. I mean they should have won two Super Bowls if they hadn't decided to throw the ball instead of running the ball with Marshawn Lynch. But they had a 5-year Super Bowl window there that most quarterbacks dream of. So they do have that level of credibility. They have that level of respect. I think it's about respect. When Russell Wilson's agent makes it very clear that Russell Wilson's not asking for a trade, minutes after the internet starts going nuts or hours after, that's about respect.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson does not respect the Texans front office.
Nor does his agent.
They do not respect it. Mm-hmm. And this front office does not deserve respect. Nick Caserio, as much as I want to see him work on the personnel side of things, he is an unproven GM. Do I think he deserves the opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Am I intrigued to see what he can do if Jack Easterby and company stay out of the way and let him and his scouts go to work? Absolutely. But they have not earned respect. It would be blind faith for Deshaun Watson to trust David Coley, Nick Caserio, Cal McNair, and Jack Easterby. Because Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, while Casario's unproven, and you can even say Coley's unproven, those guys have proven themselves. And while Seattle's front office has credibility from what they've done,
mm-hmm,
Jack Easterby and Cal McNair have the opposite based on what they've done. They have less credibility through the eyes of Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun Watson's camp do not and should not respect the upper management of the Houston Texans.
I think Nick Caserio is so far down on the list of things that are impacting or have impacted Deshaun Watson's decision. Maybe fifth, you know, like sure. You know, he doesn't know what Nick Caserio is going to be, and I'm sure he respects his body of work, but has questions about it because of the Belichick factor, etc. But that's way down Deshaun's list. I think, you know, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby trading DeAndre is up there on the list. Cal McNair is probably number one on the list. Jack Easterby is probably number two on the list. David Culley is number three. You know, on and on and on it goes. Some of the departures in this offseason are probably number four. And then maybe, you know what, I'm not sure about Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio, I think, had very little impact on why Deshaun Watson has asked for a trade.
I think there's a portion of people that are probably rubbed the wrong way with you know, athletes forcing their way out, and you sign the contract, you should honor the contract. I get that there's a portion of people that feel that way, and I can understand it, because in the real world, that is the way it works, and that's the game that I have to play under. That's the game you have to play under. That's the game a lot of the loopholes. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Play under. But I think it's actually kind of a breath of fresh air in pro sports that we are seeing this, because I've always said the athletes that we cover, the athletes we talk about, they earn that millions of dollars because they possess skilled labor that is hard to duplicate. That's no disrespect to any skill that someone has, but the skilled labor that they possess is so unique and it is so profitable, mm-hmm. and cities, communities, fans, they rely so much on it that it is a valuable asset and a valuable talent, mm-hmm. that took a lot of hard work to develop, and it makes a lot of people money. And those guys have the luxury, if they want to, of trying to better their situation. If I could just sit here in my everyday life, or Joe the accountant could say, screw you guys, get rid of me, and I'm going to be like a nine-figure guy or something like that, yeah. maybe I would do it. And mm-hmm. I think maybe some other people would do it. But the problem is that a lot of people might think that Deshaun Watson and other guys should just be quiet and go about their business. But I think it actually brings accountability to guys like Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, because 40 years ago, they could pull this stuff that they're pulling right now, and no one would say anything, and you just go about your way, and there's no problem. So the rich get richer. Get out there and play. Risk your body. Screw your talent, all that. Go out there and play and handle your business, and it doesn't matter what I do. I can backstab everybody. I can run a poor organization, and damn it, you know what? The deposit's still going to come in, and I'm going to keep getting rich. This at the very least, and Cal McNair is still going to get rich, it at least forces even some of the most respected organizations in mm-hmm. sports, like the Seattle Seahawks, it at least forces them to be competent. So I actually like this. I would be more, it sucks that Deshaun Watson could be on his way out, but I would also hate to see Deshaun Watson end up like Andrew Luck, where incompetence in the front office over a certain amount of time, even after you get it together,
yeah.
results in ruining a guy's career like it did Andrew Luck's in his 20s when he had so much more football to give us. So I actually think it's a good thing to see this type of stuff from Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. Can it get out of control? Sure. Can the diva label be placed on some guys in certain times? Sure. Yeah. But it's good to see that these guys who possess this profitable form of labor are at least forcing some sort of accountability for these guys who are going to be billionaires no matter effing what.
I couldn't agree more, but while I agree with every word you said, part of me is just getting to the point where, what are you even thinking if you don't think he should do this? Seriously, if this is a guy who has done everything, doesn't matter how much, if he made $160 million or $60, doesn't matter. He's doing what he feels is
best. I mean, you would be a jerk. You and I would be a jerk.
Yeah.
If based on everything we've said about this organization and the King Bill and the Jack Easterby from the beginning,
yeah.
and all this, if we sat here and talked about how depleted this roster was, how much of a crappy situation this is, how ridiculous it is, how Jack Easterby, we don't know how he works here, how Cal McNair appears to be early on in his owner tenure making some questionable decisions, how this offensive line, despite the fact you've put all these resources in it, is still one of the worst offensive lines in the league, how you've traded away the best weapons, how you've ignored the defense and depleted the defense. If we sat there and we broke that down from 10 to 2, Monday through Friday, the last right. couple years on Sports Radio 610, regardless of how well we want the Texans to do and how much better the city is and our job is when they're doing well, if we did all that and then we said Deshaun Watson signed a contract and he should be happy here, we should be shot.
I don't know about
shot. Because that would be the most hypocritical thing I've ever heard. To break it down and understand the situation and then question why Deshaun Watson, whose body,
yeah.
livelihood, and entire career is in jeopardy, are on the line because of all this. If we sat there and we still said, I don't see why he wants to get the hell out of here. We should be shot.
I agree. I don't know about the shot part, but I agree that you're hypocritical.
In the leg, at least.
But even from just a fan's perspective, you know, honor the contract. You signed it. I feel as if everyone saying that would do the exact same thing because everyone has a breaking point. Deshaun Watson has been nothing if not patient with this team, despite trading away his receiver and still having his head coach's back. You know, despite being a guy that has been injured because of a bad offensive line and putting up with it until they got Tunsil. Deshaun Watson should be applauded for as much as he lasted.
He's doing what some people might criticize athletes for doing. He's doing the complete opposite of it. Because a lot of times whenever an athlete's not trying, it's, he's just counting checks. He doesn't care about winning. He doesn't care about anything. He's just out there winning. He doesn't want to just sit there and count checks. He wants to be great.
He could sit here and count his dollars.
He's at the mercy of an organization that's been incompetent. And he possesses the skilled labor that is so profitable that he can swing it around more than myself and John Lopez. And when you look at the people that are in charge of his livelihood and the way that they have handled themselves since April of 2019, it is easy for any fair person to understand why Deshaun Watson feels the way that he feels.
Go into any office building that has a sales staff, an account executive staff, including this one. Who are the account executives, the sales staff that can arrive late to a meeting?
The ones that are
making the most money.
Yes.
We can all relate to that, right?
And this
they're late to the meeting, or they don't show up, or they don't even come to the office because they're playing golf. What's up, Renee? But I'm telling you, they do that because they can. That's every building in Houston.
He said, damn, Judon, you're a snitch. God, you told me.
I didn't hear. What did I say?
Good gosh.
Who? I didn't say anything.
713-572-4610. Eddie, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mr. Lopez, a few minutes ago you said something to the effect of you don't think that Caserio, his hiring, had anything to do with Deshaun leaving. I think it's the main reason.
No, Deshaun I said it's way down on the list. I think it's a reason, but
I think it's
go ahead.
I think it's number one.
Okay, how come?
I think it's number one because right after he got hired, Deshaun came out with his tweet, the more things change, ... And more things change, the more things stay the same. I think it has everything to do with this Deshaun issue with the fact that the Texans interviewed two people of color, Lewis Riddick and Omar Khan. They didn't hire either one of them, and I'm sorry to say, they went with the white guy.
Well, I hear you. I think that's a valid point. I still think he's way down on the list because Cal is number one.
Yeah.
There ain't nobody, you know, surpassing Cal as the biggest reason that that Deshaun Watson left. I get your point.
And
Easterby's number two.
Multiple reports have said it's because they said that they would touch base. Let me just put it this way, though. Nick Caserio's body of work is better than Lewis Riddick's.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's probably better than Khan's, too. So hopefully it's not that much of a thing. I think the Easterby factor could come into play, but it's been a lack of a communication.
If he connects those dots, I get it. That was cool. A good point.
Do what you want.
I just don't think anyone and actually what he said is the more things change. So he was already kind of alienated.
And that's not to say that Lewis Riddick and Khan can't be good GMs, but I mean if you just lay out the resumes and you just take the white sheets of paper, Nick Caserio's resume, I mean it's right up there with them.
Yeah.
I mean it's not like they hired David Culley.
Right.
Would
you agree with my standard here? Deshaun is alienated the highest and the most by Cal McNair right now.
Yes.
Then Nick Caserio. I mean, excuse me. Then Jack Easterby.
I was about to say. give us an extra hour. Tell Clinton Show to hold on. We're about to argue for a damn hour.
Then Jack Easterby. Then I think David Culley is third because he's like, this guy can't.
David Culley's just kind of like a joke.
Yeah, but he's like, okay, I can't win with this guy.
That's just like.
That was like the cherry on top. I can't win with this guy. Then maybe Nick Caserio.
I think Cal McNair brought out the frustration for a long time, allowing the Hopkins trade to go down, allowing the O'Brien thing. I think Easterby brought out the passion, mm-hmm. and then David Culley was just the defeated side. Like,
yeah, like that's when you just throw your hands up. Yeah, like, all right, ain't nothing I can do.
Here. What are we doing here? I mean, my gosh. Yeah. Most important thing about football is the football. Yeah, get me the hell out of here. God,
it's the football.
Get Mulligetta on the phone right
if
now.
If we got to go three and out and punt it, we're good.
No, we're not. Especially not with this defense, man. Good gosh, David Culley. I think he's doing right now. You think he's chomping some tape for the draft?
What is he doing? I think he's sitting in all the meetings.
I think he's sampling all the Tex-Mex spots. He said he likes food.
I think he does a lot of busy work. Like, he goes to all the meetings and nods his head. I'm sorry. I mean, you know.
It's all right. Astros in 5 weeks.
Rubs his chin.
Astros in 5 weeks.
That's interesting.
Astros in 5 weeks.
Let me think about that and talk with Jack and Nick.
Opening day in 5 weeks. Houston Astros. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Tomorrow's going to be a little football Friday. We'll give you the latest on the QB carousel, everything going on with the Houston Texans, as well as everything going on with those Astros.
The Astros are playing baseball, rocking in the playoffs.
Weeks. Shut him up. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what you do, we'll talk to you manana at 10 a.m. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
There is no need. Thank you, Figgy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.